Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to examine from Jeremiah chapter 1 some excuses for not serving the Lord. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord ordained Jeremiah a prophet unto the nations. Look in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now when the Lord did that, he called Jeremiah to preach against those nations. And he knew that Jeremiah would try to excuse himself. So in this passage, we can find some excuses for not serving the Lord that men offer. And then we'll find out what the Lord says about those excuses. First of all, let's read the passage and then we will explore the excuses. Verse 6, Jeremiah chapter 1, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot. And the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. And they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and who have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, an iron pillar, a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So in looking at this passage of Scripture, we're going to look at just simply four excuses that men offer for not serving the Lord. And the first excuse that we find in this passage is found in verse 6, where Jeremiah said, I cannot speak, for I am a child. All right, here's the excuse. Lord, I do that, but I am too inexperienced. I'm too inexperienced. You see, Jeremiah said in verse 6, I am a child. And you know, truly, for certain things that you do, or for certain things that the Lord might want you to do, maturity and experience are necessary. For example, a pastor. When Paul wrote to Timothy about ordaining elders in places where they had established churches, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall in the condemnation of the devil. We have men that are going to the mission field, and they will call and ask for meetings to present their field and their work, hoping that we might pray for them, and more importantly, that we might give them monthly support to take care of them while they're on the mission field. And you know what, when you read that, this thing about a child, you don't want a child going fully supported by churches to a mission field. You want somebody that has some experience, and you want somebody that has some maturity, okay? So that would be true in certain cases, but as a general rule, you know what? You learn to minister by ministering. You learn to serve by serving. You learn to teach by teaching. You learn to lead by following, and so forth. So the truth of the matter is, you are never going to have the experience that you want to have when you get started doing something for the Lord He wants you to do, because you're going to gain a lot of that experience while you're doing what He wants you to do. I remember back when I started in the ministry full time, and I compare those days to now, and oh, there are a lot of things that have changed over all those years. I feel sorry for the things that the people had to endure when I first started pastoring. It's just what a change. What happened in all that life experience? What happened in all that time of maturing? It has certainly changed my ability to minister and my thoughts and compassion toward the people to whom I minister. But I'll tell you something, we could not be where we are today if it hadn't been for those days back then. Now, in Jeremiah's case, when he said, I am a child, the Lord said, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. In other words, don't worry about figuring it out. I know what I want you to say. Be yielded to me, and I will say through you what I once said. Jesus Christ never changed in that in his ministry. He said, I do always those things that please him. He said, my doctrine is not my own, but whatever he's said to me, that's what I speak. And so in the case of something that God is calling you to do, don't shirk that call simply because you don't have experience. You cannot get experience without experiencing something. All right, let's say that that what you should be doing is teaching a Sunday school class. Then you know what you do? Go help a Sunday school teacher as a volunteer worker, working among the children or the teens or whatever in that class, and working with that teacher and seeing how it's done, and then studying your Bible and getting things together and learning how to prepare and present lessons and substitute from time to time. You see? When the Lord wants you to do something, then get started in something. We have a men's Bible study, and we have young men that are in there. You'd be surprised. Some of those young men are very young. But you know what they're doing? They are mitigating the fact that they don't have much experience by beginning to learn. And so if you think God wants you to use you for something, then you know what? To say I am a child or I'm too inexperienced is not an acceptable excuse. Because you can begin now helping and learning so that you can be a usable, experienced servant of the Lord. All right, here's another excuse. Keep reading. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now the Lord anticipates an excuse here, and he says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. In another place he says in verse 17, be not dismayed at their faces. You know, the Lord knew that Jeremiah might shirk from this call out of fear. And so he told him, be not afraid of their faces. Now, if somebody asked you to do something for the Lord, I mean, and you knew it was the Lord that was leading them to do it, it's not just some political maneuver in a church. I mean, a real serious call from God. You would not admit that you are afraid. I mean, you just wouldn't. You don't want to sound like a scaredy cat. Now, you might talk it over with the Lord that way, but with the people ask you, and they say, well, what's the matter? Are you afraid to do that? Oh, no, I'm not afraid to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. The dread inside of you is palpable as you consider an area of service. And so you know what you need to do? Don't make up some other reasonable excuse to cover the fact that you're scared. What you need to do is you need to draw close to the Lord and realize, just like the Lord said to Jeremiah, I am with thee to deliver thee. In other words, you don't have anything to fear when you fear God. You don't have anything to fear when you recognize that God is with you to deliver you. What are you afraid that's going to happen? Are you afraid, well, I might mess up? Okay, I understand that. It is good to have a fear before the Lord that you might say something that is not accurate or not doctrinally true. Well, you can mitigate that fear by studying hard and staying within the boundaries of the things that you know to be true. There is an awful lot that you can minister to somebody within those boundaries. For instance, what if the Lord said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go to your neighbors and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about me. And you say, well, I'm scared. I don't want to look like a fool, or I don't want to say something to them that's not true, or I don't know how to get a conversation with a neighbor started in order to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm too scared. Well, when the Lord says to you, I am with thee to deliver thee, and the Lord says, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. When the Lord says to you, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. When the Lord says, the Lord gave the word, but great was the company of those that published it. Where are you in that? Are you telling your neighbors about the Lord? I mean, if you don't tell your neighbors about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to leave the work to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not afraid to go knock on their door. And you know that they're not telling them the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how you've excused yourself from being able to talk to your neighbor about the Lord? You say, well, I'm scared to. Or you give up some other reasonable excuse, like, I'm kind of busy right now. I've got a lot to do with my family. Or I'm not well trained. Or I didn't go to that class to learn about soul winning. Or whatever the case may be. The truth of the matter is, a lot of people don't talk to their neighbors about the Lord Jesus Christ because they are afraid. And they haven't gotten with the Lord to hear the Lord say to them, I am with thee to deliver thee. In other words, you don't have any reason to be afraid. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. If you don't tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to tell them? Many of them, you say, well, they go to church already. Many of them go to churches that don't preach the gospel. You know the truth. Can you honestly say that you're going to allow fear to be the reason that you don't fulfill the obligation that you have and that I have to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a witness for Jesus Christ? You say, well, I'm too inexperienced. That was the first excuse. And the Lord said, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt thou speak. Do you know that it wouldn't take you 1 week to memorize a handful of verses that you could use to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord could use to bring them to Jesus Christ that they might be saved? That's true. What I just said is very true. You could memorize those verses by heart in a week. Let me just tell you a little story about one friend of mine, and then we'll move on to the next excuse. Now, this fellow had a stroke, and he was in his 60s. His name was Danny, and because he had a stroke, he thought that being in the hospital ministry of our church would be a good place for him to serve, because he had compassion on those that were recovering from illnesses and from similar experiences like he had had. Recovering from a stroke, he said, just took a tremendous amount of therapy and took a tremendous amount of mental energy, as he had to think literally about stepping properly without dragging his leg. I thought it was a great idea. But the trouble is, when he would go to the hospital and actually have the opportunity to witness to patients, he said, I would forget what to say, Brother Welder. He said, my problem is my mind is not reliable anymore since the stroke. He said, half my brain works about half the time. And so he says, when I get there, I can't remember what to say. And he had diligently tried to memorize verses of Scripture. So, you know, in a reply to him that was really off the cuff, I hadn't even thought about what I was saying. I said, well, Danny, don't memorize the words in your mind. Memorize them in your heart. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart. So I said, hide it in your heart. And that way you don't have to rely upon your mind. You can rely upon your heart, which is still good. You know what? 3 weeks later, he came back all smiles, gave me a big old hug, and he said, you'll never believe what happened yesterday at the hospital. And he told me that he actually led one of the patients to the Lord Jesus Christ because he said, this time the word was coming out of my heart and nothing's wrong with my heart. And he said, I was able to quote every verse of Scripture. And the Lord used that Scripture to bring that fellow to Christ. Now I'm going to ask you something. Here's a guy that is in his 60s, was recovering from a stroke, had to make a diligent effort to get his wife to drive him to the hospital because he couldn't drive, to go in and visit patients who wanted to see him in order to talk to him about the Lord, and you won't talk to somebody that you know well and that lives next door to you about Jesus Christ? Now, doesn't your excuse sound pretty flimsy when you say, I'm scared? I'm too inexperienced? Listen, you need to trust the Lord. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Well, he spoke through Danny. I am with thee to deliver thee. They're not going to hurt you. Let me give you another excuse for not serving the Lord that we find here in the passage. And this is a good one as well. These are all good. I mean, I'm not saying that they're acceptable, but they're certainly good excuses. Jeremiah chapter 1, let's begin reading again now in verse 10, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Now look at his call. To root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. All right, and then the Lord says in verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 15, for lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. In this case, Jeremiah would say, I'm not judgmental. In other words, Lord, I would minister for you, but I'm not judgmental. You see, Jeremiah's calling was predominantly negative. He had to root out. He had to pull down. He had to destroy. He had to throw down. He had to pronounce the Lord's judgments against their wickedness and idolatry. And may I tell you something? Most men want to sweet talk people and get along with everybody. They're not confrontational. And when you serve the Lord, you know what happens? Men often hate you. They try to persecute you like they did to, or ridicule you like they did to Paul. And people say, I don't want to get into that. I'm not going to sit here and tell somebody that's involved in a homosexual relationship or whatever that what they're doing is an abomination to the Lord. I'm not judgmental. I'm not going to condemn people in their sins. I'm not going to root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. I'm not going to tell people that when they die without Christ, they go to hell. I'm not going to do that. And so that's your excuse for not ministering to the Lord, because you don't want to be negative. You don't want to be judgmental. And let me tell you something. You're not alone in that. In an interview not too awful long ago, I guess within the last several years, you know, they asked Joel Osteen, said, well, what about homosexuals, and would you preach against that? And he said, no, I'm not judgmental. I'm not going to preach against those things. And I'm not quoting him exactly. The point, very simply, is we don't make a point to point out those things against people. And I'm not going to make a judgment about that. We just love them and preach and hope that they come around or whatever. I mean, he never said anything negative about what that person was doing. And may I tell you, today, if you decide that you wanted to ask professing Christians whether or not it was okay to get into deviant sexual behavior, perverse sexual behavior. About half of them would go along with you, and the other half would say, no, you shouldn't do that. Some would say it's okay, and some would say it's wrong. And you know why that's the case today? Because men don't want to be judgmental. And I'm going to say something to you. If you think the Lord is calling you to preach, or you think the Lord is calling you to teach, but you're going to avoid negative passages in order to keep from being confrontational, or to keep from offending people, or to keep from hurting people's feelings, you don't have any business going into the ministry. If you're not going to do what God said, you have no business answering that call. In Jeremiah's case, the Lord said, "Be not dismayed at their faces. Why? Lest I confound thee before them." He said, I'll make you look bad. I'll get it where you can't remember what to say. I'll mess with your head and mind. Listen, this stuff about serving the Lord does involve some confrontation, and it does involve some judgment. People say, "Judge not lest you be judged." Listen, the verse goes on to say, "For with what judgment you meet, it shall be meted to you again." In other words, if you're willing to be judged by the very same book that you're preaching, and you are judged by the very same book that you're preaching, then the standard is the same. And there's no threat in that, "Judge not lest you be judged," because if somebody tried to judge you, they will judge you by the same standard that you're preaching. The problem is most people are abominable in this judgment in that they hold themselves to a different standard than those to whom they're preaching. And that's where the trouble is. Excuses for not serving the Lord, I'm too inexperienced. You can get over that. I'm too scared. Not when the Lord's with you, you have no business to be scared. I'm not judgmental. I'm going to tell you what, that Bible that you have right there has a lot of negative stuff in it. And Paul said when he talked to the elders at Ephesus, he said that he preached to them all the counsel of God. In Acts chapter 20, he said, "I am free, I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And I'm going to tell you, the negative things, they can be scary. But they are part of the counsel of God, and you have to minister those. And a lot of people will bow out and say, "I'm not going to do it, because I'm not going to be confrontational." Here's another excuse. Some excuses are these: I'm too inexperienced, I'm too scared, I'm not judgmental. Here's another one: I'm not a fighter. Jeremiah chapter 1, look at verse 18. "For behold, I've made thee this day a defensed city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." Jeremiah had to stand against the kings, the princes, the priests, and the people of the land. I mean, they threw him in jail, with the understanding that they were going to fight against him. Many people excuse themselves from the fight. But I'm going to ask you something. If you're thinking about doing something in the way of serving the Lord, don't you remember that passage in Timothy where Paul told Timothy that we are to be good soldiers, the good soldiers of Jesus Christ? Timothy was told by Paul to commit the things that he had heard of Paul among many witnesses. And these men were to be faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then Paul says to Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I mean, haven't you read Ephesians chapter 6? Haven't you read about the whole armor of God? What is that for, except for a fight? We've been given the whole armor of God. You are to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and you're going to say, "Well, I can't serve you, Lord, because I'm not a fighter." Then what's the armor for? A showpiece? A museum? You're not to stand there and just look like a Christian and hope that people are going to come falling down before the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to fight against certain resistance they have to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You have to be able to stand against their opposition to Jesus Christ. Paul did. Many times we've seen in various aspects of the ministry and witnessing and teaching and preaching, men opposing themselves and opposing God, but eventually they come around, and you got to be willing to stand there. I remember years ago a fellow passing out tracts on a street corner, and a man who was on a business trip happened to walk by that fella, and the preacher handed the businessman a tract and then said to him, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And the fellow said, "What'd you say to me?" He said, "I said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And the fellow said, "You say that again, I'll knock you down." And the preacher said it again, and the fellow knocked him down. And then the businessman went on to his hotel, tried to sleep that night, and he couldn't get those words out of his mind. Next morning he woke up, and he found a preacher and went to that guy and asked him to lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was totally unrested as a result of hearing the preaching of the Word of God. You know what? That fellow was willing to stand in there and fight. Listen, these excuses, I'm too inexperienced, I'm too scared, I'm not judgmental, I'm not a fighter, these certainly sound legitimate, particularly when you say them to yourself, but they are vain excuses. The Lord wouldn't lead you into an area of service without making the appropriate provisions for your care. Listen, if the Lord is preparing you and leading you to serve Him, then you need to trust Him to take care of you in the same way that you have trusted Him to save you. The Lord said to Jeremiah, "They shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." Now let me tell you something. Quit excusing yourself and answer whatever call God has put on your life. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.